And then, Lord willing, on Sunday, we'll be able to go live on Facebook and YouTube. That's the plan. So Lord willing, that'll be that way. Just bear with us. Tonight is a test. So we'll try and get all the bugs worked out before Sunday rolls around. So if you will, take your Bibles this afternoon and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So before we get started, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask his blessings on the services. And remember to pray for one another. There's a lot of people on our prayer request list that we need to pray for. We have, you know, you've got the emails, the Facebook messages about the people we're praying for that are going through some tribulations and trials right now. Remember to pray for each other. Remember to pray for one another in our country and our president and all. So let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, and we just thank you for the technology that we can still reach out and we can't come together right now at this time, but Lord, that we can still be together, Lord. Lord, and we understand and we know that the church is not the building, the church is the people, Lord, and that we can still worship you. And Lord, and just help us this evening, Lord, open up your word to us. Help us to have hearing ears and seeing eyes, Lord. And give us understanding, give us wisdom according to your word. And Lord, just use your word to mold and make us what you want us to be, Lord. Lord, just forgive us many sins. Help us not sin against you and help us to forgive those that sin against us. And Lord, would you please just be with those in a prayer request list, Lord. Help with those. And you know the situations of everybody and what they're going through and the things that they're up against. And Lord, just open up our eyes. If there's something you have for us to do, help us to do those things, Lord. And Lord, yeah, please be with our president, be with our country. Lord, just give them wisdom and what to do. And Lord, just protect and keep us. Lord, just forgive our country and bring us back to be a godly nation again, Lord, if it be your will. Lord, we just thank you for all you've done. Just thank you for praying and ask these things. Amen. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, he says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." In this time, right now, we in our country, it's kind of we don't know what's going on. Things are changing. Things are happening. There's a lot of fear. But you know, there's something we always need to keep in mind. We need to keep this in mind. In verse 57, he says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." We can have the victory. We will have the victory. We'll have this victory. This victory is not determined upon us. Aren't you glad it's not determined upon you? It's not determined upon me. The victory that we're going to have is determined upon the Lord. He says there, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." How do I know that I'm going to have victory in this world? Over this world. How do I know this? Because God's already told me this. Look, if you will, keep your place here in 1 Corinthians. We'll be coming back here, back and forth. But look in John chapter 16. Some of y'all may know the verse I'm turning to already. John chapter 16, verse 33. In the times in this world we're going through, and not just through this time of the virus going on, but in different times in our lives, we go through tribulations, we go through trials, we go through different things, and we don't always know what the outcome is. Most of the time, we don't know what the outcome is, and we don't know what to do in some of these cases and how to protect ourselves and how to work with things. We don't know. But what we do know is God's word is sure. God's word is right. God's word is unchanging. And here in John 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you." What things has he spoken unto us? His word. The word of God he's given to us for a purpose. He said, "These things I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace." Look, God has given us his word so that in times of trouble in our lives, in the good times, in the bad times, the hard times, the easy times, all of these times, that we can know for sure that in him we can have peace. This world talks about peace all the time, but the real peace that we want is not in this world. The peace of this world is fleeting. It comes and goes. But the peace of God, that's what passeth all understanding. That's the peace that we want in the middle of this world, in the middle of our trials. It says, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Then he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. It says, you will have tribulation. You will have trials. You will have difficulties. You will have hard times in your life. But then he says, but be of good cheer. One thing I noticed in this verse this afternoon as I was looking at this verse, this is my favorite verse. I can quote this verse, but I saw this afternoon. That Bible doesn't say how big of a trial you have for it to be a trial. It doesn't. A lot of times we as adults, we tend to think that children's trials they're going through are nothing, don't we? That's what we tend to think sometimes, but their trials are just as big as mine, just as big as the things that I face with my family. Their trials are just as big, and I was thinking about a little boy that the way kids look at things are different. His grandma and grandpa and him were wanting to go out to eat, and so they were. Grandma and grandpa were talking about what restaurant to go to, and they would name a restaurant. No, that one's you know, it's too noisy. There's too many people. There's too long of a wait. They had a lot of different things that were the reasons why they didn't want to go there. And this little boy was listening, and he said, "I like this restaurant. I don't remember the name of it, but he said I like this one." And so they talked to him about it. They'd never been there before, so they figured they would go. The little boy, his mom and dad, and him went, and so. When they drove there, they got out of the car, and the little boy said, "I like this place because they have those little barbecue hot dogs." That's what was important to him, was the little hot dogs. Whereas adults, we would think that's not important. It's all the other things. But I'm just telling you that because don't discount someone's trouble because it's not as big as yours. When you go to the hospital, and I learned with my back that I don't like the pain scale. I don't like it. You go to the hospital, you're in pain, they say, "Well, how much pain are you in?" From a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being the least and 10 being the greatest. What's your number? I always hated that thing. Because how are you supposed to put a number to your pain? You know, the more pain you've been in, the higher 10 gets, right? So because somebody's number 3 pain and somebody else's number 3 pain may be way different. We don't know, but you think about this. In this verse, he says, in the world you shall have tribulation. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through trouble. We're going to have those, and we have these in our country right now. We have trouble. We have trials in our country right now, but the Lord says, but be of good cheer. Don't worry about the trial. Don't worry about the trouble you're in. We can have victory. We will have victory. He says, but be of good cheer. Why? How does he say that? Why does he say, but be of good cheer? The reason why that we can go through our troubles and go through our trials and be happy and be of good cheer, says, I have overcome the world. The Lord's already overcome this world. The Lord has already overcome all of it. We can know that we're going to have the victory. Why? How can we know that we're going to have the victory in this world? Well, look, if you will, in Revelation chapter 21, I think. I didn't write this verse down. Yeah, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for a bride, ordained for her husband, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make things new, or I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We're going to overcome. We're told right there how it's going to end. That's what we're told. You look at verse 7, tells us there, if you're here today and you're saved, this is you in verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, are you that are lost? If you continue in your lost state and you die lost, verse 8 says, But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you're here today and you're saved, you will overcome. You will. We read the end of the book. We read the end of it, how it's all going to end. We will overcome. We will have the victory. But listen, that victory is not dependent upon us. I remember in running track, and I wanted a victory. I wanted to win. That was the whole reason I was there, right? To run track, not to come in last. I didn't want to come in second either. I want to come in first. So we would run. I would run as hard as I could. For what purpose? To have the victory. But in this world, it's different. That track was, I was depending upon my training and running and getting stronger and doing all that. But in this world, we don't depend upon us. We don't depend upon our strength. We don't depend upon our knowledge. What we depend upon is the Lord. Our faith, our trust, our hope. Look, it's not in us. It's not in me. It's not in you. Our hope and our trust is in the Lord, is where it needs to be. We can have the victory. We will have the victory, I should say. Look back in 1 Corinthians. Back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says there in verse 57, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. We're going to have the victory, but you look at this. He says, But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. The Lord's going to give us the victory. We're going to have the victory, but it's not, like I said, it's not because of us, but it's because He gives it to us. The victory that we are able to have is because of Him. Look in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. First John 4 and verse 4 says, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We will overcome. We will have the victory. That's what that means there. We're going to overcome. What does he mean there? Because ye have overcome and have overcome them. Who's them? Start in verse 1. He says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit that Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Then we get to our verse 4. He says, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? The false teachers, the false religions, the false teachings of this world. We stood. You want to have victory in this world? You want to have victory in your life? How do you do that? There's a lot of times when I was plumbing and we had a hard job and a difficult job, we would just keep going. Right? You just keep going. It's a rough day. It's a tough day. It's a hard day. I just want the day to end. And sometimes that was before 8 o'clock in the morning. You just want the day to be over, but you got to keep going till 3:30. You just keep plugging on. But But that's not the way it is in our spiritual life. Our spiritual life, it's not dependent upon us. Our physical life is not either, I know that. But you want to have the victory over your life? Then you keep standing for Christ. Standing for the Lord. Standing for what His Word says. Don't change. Look, there's some things that you may change your beliefs, but it's because God's Word convinced you, right? That's what it is. You never believe in something else. If you see in God's Word, His Word says we ought to be doing something, then we ought to do it. We ought to follow His Word. David, a man after God's own heart, he committed sins. He committed adultery and murder. But yet God still said he was a man after my own heart. Why? Because David never changed who he followed. When he was told that thou art the man, what did he do? He submitted to God. He cried out for forgiveness from God. He didn't balk up and say that I'm the king. He didn't do anything like that, but yet he submitted to the Lord. We need to be submissive unto the Lord. You want to have victory in your life? Submit your life. There's too many times in our lives that we hold things back. We hold on to things in our lives. We keep back. Why do we do that? It's because it's something we can control. We want to control a little bit of something. But we don't need to. We need to give that in to the Lord. I know it's real easy to say to submit your life to Christ. This is not something we do once a day. It's not something we do once a month, once a year. It's something we do multiple times a day. We submit our life to Christ. We give to Him. We let Him have it. You think about this. We're going to have the victory. He tells us here that we can overcome. Why is it, he says here, and have overcome them? How is it that we overcame the false teaching of this world? How is it that we're going to overcome all these things of this world and we're going to have the victory? How is it? It says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ is bigger than Satan and all this world. He's bigger. It's not by our power or our might that we will overcome, that we will have the victory. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. We're going to read this one verse first, and then we'll go back and read some more. Romans 8, verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So what does he mean here when he says, what shall we then say to these things? Well, we can start back in verse 28 and see, and you can start back even farther than this. Start back in chapter 1 if you want to and read the book of Romans and get a good picture of what he's talking about. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to verse 28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So we know. He says, do you know this? This is a verse that we quote to people all the time when they're going through troubles. And they're having trials and they're having difficulty. Well, we know. Do you know? We know, and we're not the ones going through trouble. We know that. But when we're going through trouble, sometimes we seem to forget that. But he says here that we know that all things work together to good, for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to him for his purpose. For or because whom he did foreknow, he foreknew us. When did he know us? He knew us before the foundations of the world. He chose us, and that's what he's talking about here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the images of his Son. He set it in motion, predestined it to be done, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So he set in motion and said, it's predetermined. And then at a certain time, the Holy Spirit called. And whom he called, them he also justified. He saved, he made right. And look at this. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I love that because that word, that glorified is past tense. It's already been done. In God's eyes, it's already been done, but we're still in time. We've not been glorified yet. We will be glorified one of these days. And then we get to verse 30. And you think about those verses, 28 through verse 30, everything God's done for us. He foreknew us before the foundations of the world. And he called us, he saved us, you know, he justified us, and then he's going to glorify us one of these days. We're going to have glorified bodies. He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Who can change the victory? Who can take that victory away from us? If God has said you're going to have the victory, who can take that victory away? No one. We need to remember this in the times that we're going through in our lives and the times that this world is in, that we are going to have the victory. Look, this world is all that we know, I know. This world is all I know. But you know this world's not our home? This world's not our home. I have a home in heaven that I'm going to go to one of these days. We need to let go of the things of this world and just trust Christ. Put him first. Trust in him. Have our hope and our faith in him. We can't put our hope and our faith and our trust in our bank accounts, in our stock market, in all of these things. We can't. You think about that. During the Great Depression, a lot of people lost everything, didn't they? And I vaguely remember it being talked about back in the mid to late 80s, another recession. There, I barely remember that. But I remember the one in 2008 that there were a lot of people that lost. They lost everything. I remember that. They trusted in those bank accounts. They trusted in all of that. You can't trust in your retirement. You can't trust in any of those things. Where do you put your trust? Put your trust in Christ. Put your hope in trust. Your hope in Christ. And you look at the, go back to 1 Corinthians. I know I'm jumping around here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 57, he says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. And look at this word, through. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word through. Have you ever looked up the word through? That particular word. Now, through is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. But this particular Greek word is mentioned 646 times in the Bible. And what it means is, I wrote it down here. What it means is to go through by reason of, by which something is or is not done. On account of, because of. So we look at these things, and he says, you're going to have the victory. We're going to have the victory. But as we've stated before in this verse, our victory is given to us. God has given us the victory, but that victory is coming through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not by our power, not by my power, not by my ability or your ability, but it's coming that we'll have the victory because of, through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. That pronoun there, our, it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's mine. It's ours. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. My victory is coming through my Savior. You let that soak in just a little bit. Let that sink in how that we are. I know that in the time that it is right now, there's a lot of unsurety in everything right now. I remember a few months ago, we would go to the refrigerator. We would have something in mind we wanted to eat. Go to the refrigerator. It's not there. Let's go to town and get it. Right? You remember things like that? You just go to town and go get it. Now, I mean... You don't even know if the store's going to have anything at all. You know, you go to the store and there's no milk, there's no eggs, there's no bread, there's no nothing. No toilet paper. I don't get, but no toilet paper. So, you now they're limiting these things. The last time that I remember, the last time that I know of that things were limited that you could buy and I could be wrong in this, but World War II, around that time when they rationed things out. And you could only get a family of so many could get so much sugar and all this stuff. And there's uncertainty in this world is what I'm saying. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's more people getting sick from the virus that was being recorded and some dying. And now you wonder if you go to town, are you going to come back? Are you going to bring it back home? Are you going to bring it back to your family, your children? But you know, the thing we need to keep in mind with all of this going on, we need to do what we need to be doing. We need to protect ourselves. We need to not shake hands right now. And the government says that we need to be 6 feet apart. So we need to be doing that. We don't have hardly anybody here. Nobody here, pretty much. And my family's here. But we don't trust in all that, though, right? Do we? We don't. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But our hope is not in these policies. Our hope and our trust is not in the executive orders. But listen, our hope and our trust is in Christ, is in the Lord. That's where our hope and trust needs to be, is in Him. Because our victory, it doesn't come through all these other things. Our hope and our victory is through Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is where that word through is mentioned here again. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us everything we need. In his word, we have everything we need that pertains unto life and godliness. But listen, through, and that's that same word we read over in 1 Corinthians 15:57. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We have everything we need, but there again, it comes through the knowledge. How do we get the knowledge? How do we use the things that he's given to us? How do we have victory and victory over all these things? It's through Jesus Christ. It's through the knowledge. It's by reading, by studying, by meditating upon his word. That's how we get the victory. You want victory? Know what his word says. Know it, read it, study it, meditate upon it, learn it. When I became a plumbing inspector, I plumbed for 20 years. I thought I knew the code book in and out. I thought I knew it really well. But then I became a plumbing inspector. And so the plumbing inspector, the inspector, head of the inspectors, he gave me a plumbing code book. And I said, I just keep this in my car? He said, no, that's your Bible. You live by that. You inspect by that. Every judgment you make has got to be based on that. So, I was a preacher. My Bible was my Bible. I am to live by my Bible. And now I'm being told this plumbing code book is like that for my work. Did you know, they told me, what you need to do when you have any free time at all. I was like, yeah, what do I do when I have free time? He's like, you read. And I was thinking, oh, I could read, I could study the Bible, I could study for messages, I could do all this. And he said, you read the code book. You get it out and you read it from front to back. And when you're done reading it from front to back, you start in the front again. And that's all you do all day long when you have free time is read that code book. Why? I was inspecting people's work, their plumbing work. I had to know what the code said. I had to know. How is it that I'm going to know how to live a life, how to have victory in my life, if I don't know what the code book for life is right here. It's the Bible. It's God's word. That's what we need. We need his word in our heart so much that it comes out of our lives. It's a natural thing for it to come out. But here, he tells us here in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given us to us all things, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. Whereby, that word whereby is translated as the same word as through. Because whereby, this is the way they come because of these things. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I look at this. We have these exceeding great and precious promises. You think about these promises. These promises are so great, one word will not describe them. Three words don't really describe them accurately. Three words do not. I think about these promises, and what I think about my grandpa. Because I went to town with him as a little kid. We were there in town. I don't remember all the great details about it all, but I remember being there in town, and I remember him talking to somebody, to another man, and then they were talking about something, and then they shook hands. Grandpa pulled out his wallet, got out some money, and gave to the man, and the man walked off, and Grandpa walked off. We went and got in Grandpa's truck and headed home. I was puzzled by that, so I asked my grandpa, why didn't you give that man money? And he said, well, I don't remember what it was. I bought something from him. And I remember asking him, but we didn't get it. We didn't get it. Are we going to get it? He said, no, we're going home. He'll bring it to me. How do you know? How do you know he'll bring it to you? And I'll never forget this. My grandpa driving down the road, he looked at me like, we shook hands. It was a known thing. You shake hands, it's a contract. Done deal, word, promise. It's good. Would you do that today? Would you be uptown and agree to buy something from somebody, shake their hand and give them the money, and then walk off expecting them to bring it to you? Would you? Most of us say no, because most people you can't trust that way. People are, they're not honest like that anymore. So when we look at these promises, a lot of times we look at these promises from our viewpoint of the culture we live in right now. And the culture we live in right now is a lot of dishonest culture. Get what you can get. If you can get the money and not have to give it to them, then do it. That's what people think sometimes, and it's not right. But when God gives us promises in His Word, they're sureties, they're sure things. It's going to be. Do you know His promises? I know I've asked that before, but do you know His promises? Do you know the promises of the Lord? Do you have any promises that He's given to you? We are going to have the victory. The things in this world, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how long. We don't know how long we're going to have to stay apart from one another. But what I do know, in all the unsurety, I know the Lord knows about it all. And what I do know, what I'm comforted by, is I have overcome the world. Christ has overcome all of this. He's already made it through it. So we don't have to worry about the things in this world. We don't have to worry whether or not we're going to come through it. We know we are. What's going to happen in the meantime, we don't know. But that doesn't change our faith. That doesn't change we trust in Christ. We put Him first. We trust the Lord and we put Him first. And we'll get into next Wednesday night, Lord willing. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 57, he says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that victory. So Lord willing, next Wednesday night, we're going to look at verse 58 that says, therefore, because we know we have the victory, there's some things that we ought to be doing. He says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So Lord willing, we'll look and see what these words mean and what we should be doing right now. We should be standing for the Lord, standing for His Word, not wavering, but standing for what is right and doing what is right. Just because the culture changes, I'm glad that God's Word doesn't. I'm glad His Word is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So I appreciate your attention, and Lord willing, If there's any bugs, if anything stopped in this, then we'll get it figured out and get that straightened up before Sunday. So be praying for one another. Be praying for our country, our doctors, especially